So thank you everyone for being here, and I'd also like to thank Peggy and other colleagues at HHS who have been very instrumental in funding this project. This project was funded under HHS under the Affordable Care Act. And I just wanted to mention that I do not have any relationships to disclose. Before I tell you about the work that we have been doing recently, I did want to share some context with you to tell you what NQF is, to tell you who NQF is. We were established about 12 years ago, and generally our mission is to improve the healthcare standards for the United States. We do this through what we call a consensus development process, where we convene multi-stakeholder steering committees and panels on various topics, and they review and evaluate submitted measures to NQF that are submitted for endorsement consideration. Those measures and sometimes preferred practices are evaluated against NQF's measure evaluation criteria, which I'll go over in just a little bit. Their recommendations are either upheld or not by our governing bodies, which include our board. And throughout this entire consensus development process, our members and the public have opportunities to weigh in on the steering committee's recommendations or on the measures themselves. I won't go over this too long because I know I have another speaker behind me, but I did want to talk about our role. And we also serve as a neutral convener. We offer advice to HHS while we're also building consensus across the private and public sectors. Examples of our collaborative strategic work have been seen through our National Priorities Partnership, which helped to largely inform the National Quality Strategy, and the Measures Application Partnership, which recommends measures at a national level for payment programs. But today I just wanted to emphasize our work as a consensus standard setting organization and also our endorsement process. And so why are we so concerned about endorsement? We really believe that standardized measures are the tools to help us, and when I talk about us, I mean the collective us. I mean providers, purchasers, consumers, assess quality that can be used to benchmark. For that reason, every measure that comes through our endorsement process must be suitable for not just quality improvement, but for public reporting, and it must be able to withstand the rigor of our evaluation process. To date, we've endorsed nearly 700 measures, as Dr. Koh mentioned earlier, but primarily those have been focused on the healthcare provider systems. But we do recognize that in order to really assess quality and performance, you have to look beyond the healthcare delivery system. And so last year, we initiated our Population Health Endorsement Maintenance Project. It was the first time that we initiated a consensus development project that was focused primarily on population level performance measurement. And the goal of the project was to expand our already existing preventative services measures, which included screening on disease topics like colorectal cancer, breast cancer, and also healthy lifestyle behaviors, which included endorsed measures on inactivity, activity, BMI, and broader population-based measures. We convened a steering committee of thought leaders in population and public health to lead this effort, but we realized that we needed a lot of foundational work because we have been focused on the healthcare, clinical healthcare system. And so we actually commissioned the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health, and actually Steve Teutsch from LA County is here, and the Public Health Institute to develop a white paper that would provide an environmental scan of existing population and community level measures. But what the white paper also did was to present conceptual frameworks for measuring and assessing population health, the determinants of health, and improvement activities. We can't underscore the importance of this paper. This really helped our steering committee to develop guidance for developers that wish to present, submit measures to the project, but it also helped the steering committee to develop our call for measures. It helped them to also evaluate the measures, and most importantly, to our discussion today, it helped them to develop measure evaluation guidance for population level measures. But in order for our committee to develop that guidance, they needed to really understand what our measure evaluation criteria was. And so they looked at this criteria, really going through it line by line. And there are four major criteria to this. The first is importance to measure and report. And essentially here, we're concerned with the quality, quantity, and consistency of the evidence that's provided with the measure submission. And we also want to make sure that there are opportunities for improvement, because there's no point in having measures for the sake of measuring. We also, which is very important to our discussion today, want to know the relation to a priority area or a high impact area of care. What our evaluation criteria also does is to assess testing, reliability and validity testing, how the measure is being used in the field, the feasibility of the measure, and we also want to see if there are competing or related measures out there, because we know that the more measures that are out there that are the same, it confuses the field, it's burdensome, and so as much as possible, if we can encourage measure developers to harmonize or to combine measures, that is our intent through our evaluation process. And so, as I mentioned, the steering committee conducted a great deal of work. Peggy was a part of this work as well. It took about 6 months. And they went through our evaluation criteria line by line. They considered issues like data source, and they considered issues about shared accountability, disparities, the determinants of health, and how health outcomes are how they relate to improvement strategies. And the main thing they were trying to do is to say, NQF has measure evaluation criteria. They're primarily focused on the healthcare delivery system. Can those criteria be used to evaluate population-based measures? And by and large, with the exception of some language and nomenclature here and there, they said yes. Those criteria are important. It is important to assess the importance to measure and report for population-based measures. It is important that those measures are reliable and valid, and that we assess the feasibility and the use of those measures. But the one area that they had exception to was this issue of high impact. They really felt that there was a need for us to be explicit in how we characterize the public health quality improvement to help guide developers and also future reviewers, other steering committee members. And so they were very adamant, and this is one area in which they reached unanimous decision that we must include the HHS public health quality aims. And what that really means operationally is that if a measure developer comes to NQF with a population-based measure, they must demonstrate in their measure submission that their measure reaches, they must demonstrate that it applies to at least one or more of the quality aims. And what I've done here is just show you what this guidance, the rights that the steering committee put together, and the guidance that we use for our clinical measures. And you can see what the committee added in red. And so really the takeaway message is that we want these measures to have the same rigor that our clinical measures have, but we must make sure that we're speaking with a voice that is based on population level measurement. And so I'd like to close with this. This is the first time that we've embarked on population level performance measurement. We are very excited about the partnership that we had with HHS. We are hoping to bring in more measures in the future, and I welcome any questions after. Thank you very much.